Take your Bible and turn to John chapter 3 with me. John chapter 3. I love the word potential. Potential is a beautiful word. I want to define it for you right off the bat as we think about this message for today. The word potential is a word that is defined as saying this: having or showing the capacity to become or develop into something in the future. Having or showing the capacity to become or develop something in the future. I have a little bit of a dilemma 2 weeks from tomorrow. And by the way, potential is good for negative and positive situations. Potential can help out with dilemmas. Potential is there for good and bad times. And 2 weeks from tomorrow, I need to leave with my family to go to a camp in Indiana. And then on Friday morning, I need to be from there to Niagara Falls, New York. And then Saturday after speaking, I got to leave Niagara Falls, New York, and get to St. Louis Saturday night so that I can get back to Jefferson City in my own bed and be here on Sunday morning. Now, that's a lot, right? And 100 or 200 years ago, it would not be possible, but potential makes it possible. The potential means that there's a chance, Randy, that you could actually take a vehicle, a car, and your family could leave on that Monday morning and drive to Indiana. And then you'll spend the week there at camp. And then Friday morning, one of your family members will have to get up early. Not sure which one it'll be yet. I'm not sure if I'll have to draft. Sometimes they volunteer, but sometimes we have a draft in our family. And one of them will take me early Friday morning and drop me off at the Louisville airport. Then I'll get on an airplane, thank God, because a car still has good potential, but there's a better potential. And I'll get on the airplane, and then I'll fly to Niagara Falls, New York, and preach at a youth conference. Then I got to get back to Missouri, so I get on another airplane on Saturday. I'll fly back, and then again, one of my family members will kindly volunteer because they love to be around their dad and husband, and they'll come pick me up at the airport, and we'll be back home. Potential makes that happen. It means we see a situation, we see a dilemma, we see possibly a problem, we see something that has to take place, and potential is waiting at the door saying, hey, we can make this happen. We serve a God of potential. God is consistently providing ways to see potential come to fruition. And as we think about continuity, potential has got to always be knocking at continuity's door. And as we think about the subject of being thankful for it, what God has done for us yesterday and what he can do for us today means there's a good chance he'll do that for us tomorrow. And that's why I love Psalm 145 so much. David says this: it doesn't matter what's going on tomorrow, I will bless the Lord. I will praise God. And I'm going to be so excited about what God has done, is doing, and will do that I'm going to tell the next generation about it too. I'm going to praise his works to the next generation. And so in the book of John, you'll see a consistent testimony of potential coming to fruition. Now watch this. In order for that transition to take place, for me to get to camp and then to the airport and back, two main things have to happen. First of all, a vehicle has to be available, and I have to be at that vehicle. A plane has to be available, and I have to be on that airplane. Now, I believe with all my heart that God many times provides the vehicle, provides the airplane, so to speak, but the Christians don't get onto it. We see a need. We know there's a need, but we in our own self struggle believing that the potential is there to fulfill it. You understand that there was potential for a man to utter the most famous phrase in the history of mankind, and it kind of goes like this: for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But in order for that to take place, Jesus had to have a meeting with somebody. And in John chapter 3, you'll see in verse number 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night. Now, the potential is there. Continuity is happening. Jesus is fulfilling his mission. And here's his mission, what? To tell the world this beautiful phrase: ye must be born again. Thank God for that. And he's now laying out the groundwork for the potential for any man, woman, boy, girl, teenager, no matter where you are, what you're from, to have a relationship with the creator of this universe. It's there. And boy, I'm glad Nicodemus showed up. And I knew Jesus was going to show up. And when Nicodemus showed up and Jesus showed up, he said this phrase: ye must be born again. And because of that meeting, one day in my life, after trusting in religion to get me to heaven and baptisms hoping would get me to heaven, I found out what the truth was, and Jesus Christ became my personal Savior 28 years ago this July. What a blessing. And then John 3:16 is uttered in the same passage here. Potential, having, or showing the capacity to become or develop into something in the future. God looked out on a vast chasm and said, you know what? I will create this world and this universe, and I will say these words, let there be light. And 6 days later, this world came to fruition, and we live on it now. We enjoy it. We're blessed by the blessings of this earth that God has given to us. Why? Because God had the potential to do something. The earth showed up, and things took place. Number one today, I want you to notice there's potential in relationships with God. There's potential in relationships with God. Number two, as we journey through the book of John, real quick, stay with me now. I got to hurry through some of these. In John chapter 4, there's potential to put your past where it belongs in the past. There's potential to put your past where it belongs in the past. And when I get out of that car, I've got to leave that behind me. I'm not taking the car with me on the airplane. I will then get onto an airplane, which will then help me get to the next destination. And I say to you today, many Christians, they get excited by John chapter 3. They meet the Lord Jesus Christ. They experience salvation. But they get to John chapter 4, and they just don't get over their past. In John chapter 4, verse 4, the Bible says this, and he must needs go through Samaria. In John chapter 4, in verse number 7, the Bible talks about how Jesus says, give me to drink. In John chapter 4, in verse number 9, this woman of Samaria says, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And Jesus goes on and talks about the gift of God. And Jesus talks about how he is the water. Look at verse 14. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. And then he goes on and talks to this woman a little bit more. And he says, go call thy husband and come hither. And in verse number 17, the Bible says, the woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And that sets out truly. I was driving with Grant, and Grant and I went on a trip this week to speak at a gala and a graduation there in Tennessee. And I was listening to a message, and the preacher made this statement. I got really excited about it. He said that the woman had tried six different men until she met the seventh man. Five men, and then the sixth man, and it wasn't working. She wasn't happy. She was still going back for water. The world's water was selling her short. The world's water wasn't going to satisfy. But thank God, when you come with an empty vessel and you leave it behind you when you meet Jesus Christ, you then become a vessel that Jesus can fill for the rest of your life. Boy, the woman brought her water pots. That's what she's been doing for years. She's taken that same trek up that hillside to Jacob's well. It's something she did. Boy, they were excited to have some piece of Jewish history. Wow, we get to use Jacob's well. At one time, this was something that's in our lineage. Hell yeah, the Samaritans had Jewish blood in them. But boy, they were rejected. They were kicked out. But Jesus showed up, and potential was about to happen. Somebody say amen right there. Listen, God is saying here today, it doesn't matter where you've been. It doesn't matter what your past looks like. It doesn't matter how much you weigh, let it weigh you down. Hey, God says, leave it at the well. I'll make you a vessel, and I'll use you for the glory of God. And this woman transforms her city. Thank God for the potential to leave your past where it belongs in the past. Number one, the potential for a relationship with God. Number two, John teaches about the potential to leave the past in the past. Boy, I love this one. Number three, we have the potential, I love this in John chapter 5, for motion. Potential is also a word that comes in motion. If you know anything about chemistry and physics, we know about potential motion, and I've studied those subjects. It's been a while. I like those subjects in school. But can I tell you something? Many Christians are like this man in John chapter 5. We got saved in John chapter 3. We dealt with our past in John chapter 4. But all of a sudden, we got a little tired. We got a little weary. We got a little burnout. And we find ourselves laying by the poolside in John chapter 5. And the Bible here says in John chapter 5, verse 2, now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches, five being the number of grace. What a beautiful thing. And in this great multitude of impotent folk, a blind, of halt, and withered, waiting for the moving of the water. And the Bible tells us about this man who'd been lame all his life in verse number 5. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lie, he knew that he had been now a long time in that case. And I love what he says. Wilt thou be made whole? Here's your potential. You've got a chance to get back up again. Okay, you've been saved. Okay, you've been down that road. Okay, you're struggling right now. But I'm fixing to help you get back up again. And I love how he asked the question. Wilt thou be made whole? And in verse 7, the man answered.
answered him, "Sir, I have no man." What a sad statement. "I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another steppeth down before me." And Jesus saith unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." Hallelujah for that. Anytime Jesus is around, there's potential for something to happen. Some of you today, I don't know where you're at in these three chapters. Maybe you just need an old-fashioned dose of salvation, and that's good. Boy, I'm glad I got saved. I'm glad I'm going to heaven. I'm glad I got born again. I'm glad I've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm glad my name's in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm glad I'm never going to touch hell, Miss Paulette. How many times have we said that in this church? I'm never going to touch the flames of hell. I've been forgiven. I've been justified. Boy, I'm glad God forgets about my past. He forgives me of my past. God is more excited about your future than you are about than we are about our past. It's amazing how much the devil wants us to think about our past and think about our past. And God says, forget your past. I'm excited about what I'm fixing to do with you right now. Number three, it's time for motion. It's time for motion. I love this one. The next one is John chapter 6. Now it's time to feed the multitudes. Brother John McElroy talked a little bit about anticipation in Sunday school our last hour, and he even talked about how we have to get to the point of weakness or just realizing that we ain't all that. And I love the young lad in John chapter 6. I love how this young boy literally transforms a multitude of people. In John chapter 6, verse 1, and here it is. Here's the potential. What's the potential? Potential for the hungry to be filled again. The hungry to be filled again. In John chapter 6, verse 1, and after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles. By the way, the potential for miracles is always right on the edge. I mean, it's there. It's at our front door. You just keep showing up. You keep trusting God, and miracles will take place. You say, "Preacher, I'm praying for a lost loved one. He hadn't been saved. She hadn't been saved. My mom, my dad, my grandma, my grandpa, my auntie, my uncle, whoever it is that's not saved." You keep praying. You keep trusting God. You keep showing up. You keep staying faithful, and one day you'll be able to talk like these people did and say, "Hey, me and Jesus showed up at that divine appointment, and my aunt got saved. My grandpa got saved. My mama got saved. Somebody got saved because of that potential meeting there." The Bible goes on and talks about how in verse number 3, and Jesus went up into a mountain and there sat with his disciples. And as Jesus then lifted up his eye, look at this, a feast of the Jews, I'm sorry, verse 4. And then in verse 5, and when Jesus lifted up his eyes, he saw a great company come. And Philip says, "When shall we buy bread that these may eat?" Man, we ain't got no money. Church, gas prices, we ain't got no money. Last Wednesday, for the first time in American history, all 50 states had gas that was at least $4 or more a gallon. God's not surprised. God's in complete control. The travels this summer look interesting, man. Gas is higher. Plane tickets are different. I mean, everything's different. Can I tell you something right now? None of that caught God off of guard. He's not by surprise. God's in complete control. He knows exactly what's happening. Stay with me now. The Bible says this. How are we going to buy the bread? And this he said to prove him, for he knew himself what he would do. I love that. Isn't it amazing? Don't miss this statement. Now, this is one of the most important statements I'll make today. Jesus always knows what he will do if you give him the chance to fulfill the potential in your life. He knows what he's going to do. We just have to let him. We have to be there and prepared and let him. I love this. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, and I actually admire Andrew for this. Sometimes preachers criticize him. I like the fact that he didn't immediately kick this boy out and say, "Just go back, sit down, just eat your lunch." I like what the Bible says. "There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many?" Oh, that was a great question. That's a good potential question. What are they among so many? We got 5 loaves and 2 barley fishes and thousands of people that are hungry right now. What are we going to do? How are we going to feed the multitudes? Jesus is like, "Don't worry, I got this. Just let me fulfill the potential of this day." Of this day. And Jesus said, "Make the men sit down." Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down, a number about 5,000. And we know the story. That boy saw 12 baskets full come back of fragments. You talk about big doggy bags and boxes full of food. And they literally had a little revival, and the people ate till they were full, and the disciples served them, and the bread kept coming, and the fish kept coming, and all those miracles took place. Sometimes in our Christian walk, we wonder how in the world we're going to reach these people. It's overwhelming. There's 8 billion people on this planet. We're not that big a church. In fact, there's not a church on this planet big enough to reach 8 billion people. But corporately together, if we bring our sack lunches, if we never back down, if we never let up, if we don't quit, watch God do great things. Watch Him do great things. I hesitated to share this, but I got a phone call this past week that scared me to death. An opportunity for God to do something miraculous in the ministries of this church and put our ministries in 1 billion households on this planet. Did you hear that? 1 billion households on this planet. Okay, I'm sorry. Let me just say it again. Oh, sleeping. 1 billion households on this planet. It might happen. It may come to fruition. You say, wow, you probably shouldn't have told. I'm going to go ahead and tell you why. Because I'm praying to God to make it happen. I'm here, God. It has something to do with the deaf. God's using the deaf thing. But boy, to be able to reach that many people with an app. I mean, there's great things that could happen. Listen, if you want to be one of those gloom and doom and there's so much negativity in this world, you want to be join the kumbaya clinics and you want to get around and rub each other's necks and scratch each other's backs and say, we're going to hang in there. It's just so hard and life is so, don't come talk to me, right? My God's sitting on His throne. He's high and lifted up. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. Everything's I in my Father's house. He's never said oops. He's never said uh-oh. My God can't do anything He won't do if we'll just let Him. I can imagine this young lad the rest of his life, man. He's 40 years old applying for a job. Got a chance at a promotion. And he's like, tell us about your strengths and weaknesses. Well, my weaknesses, my mom says I got a little bit of a temper. My wife actually says I got a bad temper. But tell us about a strength. Well, there was this one day I brought a sack lunch and me and Jesus fed 5,000 men and all the women and children. Hired on the spot right there. Can you imagine having a testimony like that? Well, listen, can I tell you something? We have a testimony today that David can't relate to, that Elijah can't relate to, that Moses can't relate to. While many of us anticipate getting to heaven someday and asking David what it was like to kill Goliath, I believe they'll sit down instead and say, forget about that. Tell me what it was like the day you got saved. What was it like when you got born again? What was it like to actually comprehend in your heart that Jesus Christ is your Savior? He's your personal Son. God came and lived inside of you and He saved you. Wow! We sometimes feel like that we're envious of the Old Testament. I believe the Old Testament is actually envious of us. Somebody help me right there. Number 4, the potential for us to feed the masses. I love number 5 real quickly. There's potential for us to communicate in a way that can change the world. Look at John 7. John 7, we're journeying through John, continuity, thankful for potential. Jesus has been preaching controversy. The truth is controversial. People right now, man, they're cracking up this new truth seekers generation right now. Everybody's seeking for the truth. Somebody used that phrase to me that they pray for me as I seek for the truth. I said, I will pray for you, but 28 years ago, I found it right here, praise God, amen. I don't have to seek for the truth. It's right here in my lap. The truth, and by the way, the knowledge of the truth sets you free. And here's what the Bible says in John chapter 7. It says in verse number 43, so there was a division among the people because of him. You mean Jesus' preaching divided the crowd? Oh, yeah. He made people nervous. The truth does make people nervous. The Bible goes on and tells us, verse 44, and some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then come the officers to the chief priests and Pharisees, and they said unto him, why have you not brought him? The officers answered, never man spake like this man. I mean, the officers were sent, they literally were sent on a mission to go arrest Jesus Christ. They have the handcuffs. They got the leather straps. They're ready to bind him and take him before the Pharisees to collect their payday and say, we got him. We got the Son of God. Here he is, rabble rouser. And once they heard Jesus start preaching and once they heard him start talking, they looked at each other and said, I ain't arresting him. You go. He said, I ain't going to touch that man. You go. Nobody wanted to touch him. You know why? When Jesus stood up to speak that day, he spoke like never man spoke before. You know why? Because he didn't speak from here. He wasn't using, it wasn't the fact that he used Hebrew or Aramaic or Latin or Greek. It was the fact that he spoke from here. And when you preach and speak and live from here, you don't hear it up here, you hear it right here. Jesus changed the way we communicate because of something called, watch this now, the heart. Being able to speak and talk from the heart. Number 5, praise the Lord. Look at this real quickly, John chapter 8. John chapter 8, I love this. Number 6, he has the potential to give hope. When you serve God and you show up on time and you're faithful to what God can do, you have the potential to give hope to the hopeless world. This world is very hopeless. They're very discouraged. They're very beat up. They're very kicked around. They feel like there's no chance. There's no hope. And in John chapter 8, boy, I love this. The Bible talks about in verse 1, Jesus went up to the Mount of Olives. Early morning came again to the temple, and all people came to him and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees, they take a woman taking the act of adultery and they throw her in their midst. And they say, verse 4, and they say, woman, that master, this woman was taking the act of adultery, the very act. They literally caught her in the act. And again, I say this every time, and I'm going to say it every time I preach this passage. Where was the man if she was caught in the act? Where was the man? Boy, they threw this woman in. She literally, according to Mosaic law, had no hope. She was hopeless. But Jesus. When Jesus and potential are on a collision course, look out. Something fitting to happen. That's a southern word for something's about to happen. Something fitting to happen right here. And the Bible says, now Moses in verse 5 in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But we know the story. Jesus kneels down and writes some stuff in the sand. And he stands up and he says, he that is without stone, sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And finally, the Bible says in verse number 10, he says, woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said to them, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And by the way, this is not a passage that Jesus condones sin or says, I'm not worried about sin. As Brother John brought out in Sunday school, holy, holy, holy. God is still holy. But he gave her hope. He said, get back on your feet again. Dust off that dust and stand up and say, hey, I will go and sin no more and make a difference. Thank God he gives hope to the hopeless. Two more real quickly. John chapter 9. There's potential for those that were once blind and now see. In John chapter 9, the disciples come to Jesus and said, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus said, no, it's God's will. Most of us are consumed with that passage because a blind man is healed. And then for several verses down through this long chapter, he is taken before his parents, before Pharisees. This poor blind man who could see for the first time, instead of going and seeing the trees and the flowers and the beauty of God's creation, gets stuck looking at a bunch of old sourpuss Pharisees. Somebody help me right there. He probably said at that point, I wish I was blind again. But he sat before the Pharisees and he started to finally get tired of it. And he stood up and he preached and potential happened. Watch what the Bible says, and I'm almost through. Stay with me now. The Bible says right here that they finally got sick of him and threw him out. Look at verse 34. Thou answered and said unto him, they answered and said to him, thou wast altogether born in sin, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Stay with me now. That's what religion will do to you on the day of judgment. If you're trusting in your Catholicism, your Methodism, or being a Baptist, or you're trusting in being a Muslim, or trusting in whatever religion you're trusting in to get you to heaven, when you stand before the holy, holy, holy God of gods and the King of kings on his throne, your religion will cast you out. But what I love about this is when your religion casts you out, look what the Bible says in verse number 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when he had found him. In order for you to find something, that means two things had to take place. One, something was lost. Two, something went looking for that which was lost. Jesus came and found him and said, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, by the way, he was physically seeing at this point. He was healed of his physical blindness, but spiritually he's still blind. So he says this. He says, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord? If he knew Jesus was Lord at this moment, he wouldn't have been asking that question. He's still blind. That I might believe on him. And Jesus said to him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Potential happened there. Church, listen to me. We got a lot of work to do. This world is full of blind people grasping about, desperately seeking for some help and hope. And we see clearly because of the Word of God. It's our. I see. Number 8, and I'm done. I love this one. John 21. He has the potential to restore. He has the potential to restore again. And I love this one because Peter here in this passage here, Peter right here, has denied Christ 3 times. Peter failed the Lord Jesus Christ. He denied him 3 times. And you know, it's amazing. We preachers have preached against Peter more than Jesus ever did in this passage. Jesus never preaches against Peter in this passage. Well, why wouldn't he? 2 reasons. Number 1, he knew it was going to happen. Just like he knows when I deny him and you deny him. Just like he's not shocked when I fail him and you fail him. Just like he's not surprised when I fall again and you fall again. He's not surprised by that. He knew. Stay with me now.
Number two reason, ready for this? Because he knew what Peter could do if he was restored. He saw potential in Peter. And the Bible here says in John chapter 21, I love this, they're out fishing all night. Peter's out fishing and he's caught nothing. And he's frustrated. And verse 5, children, have you any meat? And they answered him, no. And of course, John's the one that recognized him. He says, cast the net on the right side of the ship and you shall find. And they cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw for the multitude of fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked. And that's one big reason I don't go fishing, because if you men go fishing, I ain't going to fish with no man naked. Somebody say amen right there. If you go fishing, keep your clothes on. Amen. So Peter's naked here, fishing. I said B-U-C-K, buck. I didn't say the other one, okay? I know there's two ways to say that, all right? He was naked and he cast himself into the sea. That was the best decision he made all day. It's better to be in the water, but on the water. But anyway, he gets into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship and they were not far from land. And I love this. Verse number 9, as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid there on a bread. And Jesus says these three beautiful words in verse 11. Come and 24 years ago, there was people that told this place, this church, that they should not exist anymore. I was told by preachers, don't even think about taking Bible Baptist Church. Ichabod's on it. The glory's departed. I had two preachers tell me that live close by here, I won't name any names, that said to me, that church will never do anything again. They need to sell the property and sell the old building that was here. You see, that's the problem, though. It's easy to forget about Jesus and his potential. Because there was a handful of people at that time, before I even came, who said, you know what? We believe that God has more in store when he restores. And they didn't quit. And they fought the battles. And they increased their missions giving. And without a pastor for many months, they just kept plugging along and plugging along and plugging along and plugging along. And all these years later, all the people look and say, my soul, look at the potential that Jesus Christ has fulfilled. And if he's brought us this far, strap on your seatbelts, get excited, hang in there. You ain't seen nothing yet. Hallelujah. Potential and Jesus meet. Great things happen. Guess what? It's not long after this, Brother Bill, that Peter preaches and 3,000 souls get saved. And he's going to write two books of the Bible. And he's going to become one of the greatest men ever used in the Bible because Jesus said, Peter, I see potential in you. Let me meet you at potential's door and miracles will take place. I'm thankful for potential. I anticipate potential. I'm done right here, and here's why. Because God has done, God is doing, and God will continue to do if we show up at potential. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Thank you for listening so well today.
Who created the starry ghost and from the earth? change. You are the God you say you are when I'm afraid. You come and still my beating heart. You say the same when hope is just a distant thought. You take my pain and you lead me to the cross. What love is this that you gave your life for me? It made a way for me to know you. Upon your hands and hold the truth that when I can't, you always can. And standing here beneath the shadow of the cross, I'm overwhelmed, and I keep finding open arms. What love is this that you gave? Thank you.